This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. According to the residents of Avenue Q, it can be hard to admit it, but everyone's a little bit racist. Avenue Q is a long-running, mature-humored Broadway show that involves drinking, harsh language, and nude puppets. And it has taken on new relevance in today's political and cultural climate. But beyond the social commentary, the show is about simple realities of being an adult, like paying rent, slowly abandoning the hunt for your life's purpose. The show is currently on stage at Raleigh's Little Theater and runs through June 25th. And joining me now is the show's director, Jesse Gephardt. Jesse, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
And you brought along a couple of actors, too. Aaron Bowles, who plays the character Princeton. Aaron, welcome.
Hi.
And also Brett Williams, who plays Kate Monster. Hi, Kate.
Hi.
That's Brett, who plays Kate. So, Jesse, tell us how this show debuted. It debuted on Broadway 2003. This is during the Obama administration, when we knew that racism had finally ended once and for all. None of us are racist anymore, and it was over. And this show essentially told a different story.
Well, this show actually, it was actually the end of the Bush administration, right, right. Because they worked that into the show at the end. The themes that it tackles, like, racism and classism and what one is supposed to be doing with your life. I mean, it's just something that I found has stayed really true and really relevant, and I found so much of my current life in it when I was going back to it again with this project.
And so those are some of the themes, but it does include Muppet-like puppets.
It does, yes.
So tell us how, and a kind of a Sesame Street-ish looking neighborhood. So give us more of the atmosphere of this play.
So the basic rundown is that you have recent college grad Princeton who's moved to the big city and is trying to find his way, and along the way he meets these kind of crackerjack people that live in Avenue Q, and he meets and falls in love with Kate Monster, and so it's all about, while he's searching to find his purpose, he's kind of falling in love, and he gets kind of overwhelmed by all of that, and so it's a search for all the people are really searching for their happiness and their place and their love with each other and themselves. And
but it's set in this kind of this political and cultural context. And you've got these characters. What about that? Because it seems to me that directing a show like this, we're going to hear a little bit in a minute, but you have live-action actors on stage holding puppets and then sort of voicing the puppets. And so actually the puppets are the characters, but we're not concealing the live action actors. This would seem to be a challenge for a director and actors.
Yeah, because you don't want the audience to have to worry about where they're supposed to be focusing. So we spent a lot of time. Kevin Roberge, who was our puppet master, did a lot of work with everyone in terms of making sure that we create a cohesive unit. So what I've kind of heard people saying is that they were trying to focus on the puppet, and then they were trying to focus on the actor, and then they just kind of realized that they were focusing on the unit, which is kind of what we want them to do.
All right. Well, Aaron, let me ask you. You play the character Princeton. Tell us how he's doing at the beginning of this musical, where he is at psychically and emotionally.
Well, at the beginning of the musical, he is just now moving over to Avenue Q. He's just graduated from college with a BA in English that he doesn't know how that's going to help him in any way.
It's not, but go ahead.
So he's just winging it in a new area, starting a new part of his life that he's never had to explore before. So it's kind of that whole trying to establish your own life in your own place. Yeah, that kind of challenge.
And Brett, you're playing Kate Monster. Tell us more about Kate Monster.
She is a kindergarten teaching assistant. She has not bridged that gap yet.
She's moving up, but
she's
slowly.
She's getting there slowly. But she wants to start her own school and to better the community, and she's like really passionate about teaching. But she's also a bit of her fuse is kind of short. So she gets very indignant when she feels like she's not being respected. So she can be a little snarky sometimes.
Yeah, so there you got a formed identity with a not yet well-formed career and a lot of ideals all clashing, because now it's not just a matter of theory. This is not a dorm room conversation when you're a sophomore in the middle of the night. This is actual real life there on Avenue Q. And then the realities strike in. So let's talk about the song that, if you know about this play, everyone knows, and that's Everyone's a Little Bit Racist. Maybe you could set this up for us, if I could get you to do that, Jesse. Just set it up for us, and then we'll hear a little performance.
So this song starts with Princeton asking Kate Monster what he feels like is just a pretty simple question. I think that we're going to get that little bit of exchange. And then it sparks this song where they basically come to an agreement that everyone is a little bit racist.
Say, Kate, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
You know Trekkie Monster upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
So he's Trekkie Monster.
Yeah.
And you're Kate Monster.
Right.
You're both monsters.
Yeah.
Are you two related?
What? Princeton, I'm surprised at you. I find that racist.
Well, I'm sorry. I was just asking.
Well, it's a touchy subject. No, not all monsters are related. What are you trying to say, huh? That we all look the same to you?
Not at all. Well, I'm sorry. I guess that was a little racist.
I should say so. You should be much more careful when you're talking about the sensitive subject of race.
Well, look who's talking.
What do you mean?
What about that monster school you were just telling me about?
What about it?
Could someone like me go there?
Well, no, we don't want people like you.
You see?
What?
You're a little bit racist.
Well, you're a little bit too.
I guess we're both a little bit racist.
Admitting it is not an easy thing to do.
But I guess it's true.
Between me and you, I think everyone's a little bit racist. Sometimes. Doesn't mean we go around committing hate crimes. Look around and you will find no one's really colorblind. Maybe it's a fact we all should face. Everyone makes judgments based on race.
Everyone's a little bit racist. Brett Williams and Aaron Bowles singing Everyone's a Little Bit Racist. Brett and Aaron play the characters Kate Monster and Princeton in Raleigh Little Theater's performance of Avenue Q, which you can catch until June 25th. I'm also speaking with Avenue Q's director, Jesse Gephardt. Tell us about the decision in this great performance, by the way. It's wonderful. I'm going to ask the actors a little bit about sort of having to, in one way or another, embody Sesame Street characters. But Jesse, let's talk about the overview. I mean, why include that? Why make that part of this play? What role does that play?
I think what the puppets do is they give the audience like a false sense of security almost, you know. They're like, oh, I know this. This is like Sesame Street. And then it also gave the playwright a license to say more and to have it mean something differently when it's coming from a puppet. Some of the things that are said, they hit harder because you aren't expecting that to happen.
Well, let me ask you, Brett. I'll start with you about the question of sort of embodying that kind of Sesame Street aesthetic, if I may, the Sesame Street aesthetic. But also, I mean, this is a play; it's about real things, and you brought all of that to the performance in the character that we've come to know and love. Somebody sort of popping out of a garbage can or something. How, as an actress, how do you sort of bring those worlds together? The fantasy of Sesame Street and the kind of the grit of the story.
It's actually not that hard. It's actually almost easier to say something really real in a puppety voice and make it. It's just that much funnier for people because it's a real emotion that you are having, but it's so silly with the puppet that you can be free to say whatever you want. And it's like a little security blanket. Mm. I couldn't say half the things that I say on stage without the puppet and make it as funny as it is.
Aaron, about the same for you?
Yeah, so it's like really
weird at first because you're trying to I know that at the beginning of the rehearsal process, it was really weird for a lot of us to find our voices for our puppets and whatnot, because you know that it needs to be like silly and comical, but it like a children's show, but it also needs to like kind of fit in with what the actual character is, because they are supposed to be actual characters within the story that we're trying to tell. So that's been a weird part.
Kind of. And what about the business of, and I asked Jesse this as a director, but I'll stick with you for a second, Brett, and talk about the Aaron, and talk about the challenge of being a live actor on stage with a puppet, and sort of how much energy you bring to it as an actor, because you want people to be looking at the puppet. What's that like for you?
It's been different. It's been challenging, as a lot of us, I don't think any of us have actually ever worked with puppets in the past. So we're very much used to sticking to our own personal guns. But as we move around the stage with the puppets and whatnot, we have to, I've noticed that we have to remember to keep the energy up within ourselves, because then that transfers through the puppet. And Kevin, the guy who's been kind of coaching us through the puppets and whatnot, has always been telling us to keep our puppets alive and keep the energy flowing through the puppet at all times. Even when you're not necessarily talking or the center of attention, you have to keep it sort of alive and keep the energy flowing through the character itself, as well as through your own emotions. And
I'm imagining that line now in a war movie. Keep your puppets alive, man.
I like it.
Brett, how about you? Have any worried? It's its own show. The show I want to do, and we'll get to these themes in a minute. Well, let's do that now, because in this sort of moment when Barack Obama's arrested, yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
When he's what?
When he's elected. Talking about implicit bias, that we think, okay, and there's this crazy debate as though racism has ended in America with the election of Barack Obama, and this play addresses that directly. But now that moment is gone. It's not implicit bias anymore. It is outright white supremacy. People get to – you get to have a white supremacist as your aide in the White House. Mm-hmm. And people aren't apologizing anymore. They don't preface their racist comment with, I'm not a racist, but.
Right.
They say, you know, this is – they make some – so is this play still relevant, do you think?
Yeah, because, you know, that another line in that very song is, you know, they talk about – racial biases and stereotypes that are based on truth. And so, you know, there is an acceptance of a lot of this. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Implicit bias is still, and of course, again, you know, for liberals, this is something that still has never been quite properly confronted.
Right.
The fact that if you were raised in a certain neighborhood a certain way, whatever thoughts and conclusions you've come to now, you have to deal with some demons and some dark ideas in your mind that are essential to the fabric of the American Republic.
Right.
And, you know, just coming to terms with that is not easy if you think you're not a racist, but.
I think that it's still relevant just because it has it's not afraid to call it out. I mean, that's what it was doing when it was first written. It was calling out that bias, and you know it's calling it out in a way that it's not blaming anyone. You know,
which was just another one of the criticisms, and it still is a criticism of the play. On the one hand, there's this finger in the chest, you're a racist too, pal. And no, I'm not. And so the accusation is shocking. The indictment is a shock, and one that I'd like to deny. But then the song goes on to kind of let everybody off the hook and say, well, but you know, that's the kind of thing that goes on.
Right.
And if you're anybody who has suffered because of racism, you say, well, hold it. Well, I didn't talk about immunity yet. I'm not ready for immunity.
Right.
So it's got both of those things going on, right?
It does. And I think that in order for it to remain the show that it is, it has to be able to let people off the hook. You know, that's not the battle it's trying to win in the long run. But it, you know, people laugh at what's going on, especially in that number, just because I think they recognize it in themselves and they see it on the stage.
Hey, maybe you can do another number and I'll have you set it up. Brett, maybe you can set up this number for us.
Sure. So this is the end of Act One. This is where Princeton and Kate go to a wedding together as their first outing as a couple. And Princeton breaks up with Kate on their first date, and she is like heartbroken, and this is her kind of dealing with the idea of trying to stay friends with someone or just completely cutting off all ties with them. There's a fine, fine line between a lover and a friend. There's a fine, fine line between reality and pretend. And you never know till you reach the top if it was worth the uphill climb. There's a fine, fine line between love and a waste of time. There's a fine, fine line between a fairy tale and a lie. And there's a fine, fine line between your wonderful and goodbye. I guess if someone doesn't love you back, it isn't such a crime. But there's a fine, fine line between love and a waste of your time. And I don't have the time to waste on you anymore. What you're looking for my own sanity, I've gotta close the door and walk away. Whoa. There's a fine, fine line between together and not. And there's a fine, fine line between what you wanted and what you got. You gotta go after the things you want while you're still in your prime. There's a fine, fine line between love and a waste of time.
Brett Williams in the role of Kate Monster in Avenue Q. The song is called A Fine, Fine Line. The show is up until June 25th at the Raleigh Little Theater, and I'm also speaking with actor Aaron Bowles, who plays Princeton, and director Jesse Gephardt. Nice job.
Thank you.
That's a fine, fine song. Which brings us to the other point, Jesse, and I know we've talked about it, but this is also a love story. It's a story about personal discovery as well, LGBTQ issues. So in terms of discrimination, it's a very broad play with a lot of themes going on.
Yeah, it does. It really does cover the gamut, because then you also have Christmas Eve, so you have this like kind of Asian American influence that's in there, and it brings it all in. It does. No one is safe, really.
And you think, and it's still relevant these days. You think?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, I do. I think, and you know, unfortunately, so in some instances, you know.
We take on these themes. Well, it's great stuff, and I want to thank you all for being on the show today. Jesse Gephardt is the director of Avenue Q at the Raleigh Little Theater. Aaron Bowles plays the character Princeton in that show. Brett Williams has the role of Kate Monster, and the Raleigh Little Theater has extended the run of Avenue Q, now runs through Sunday, June 25th. You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks so much, Frank.
Coming up on our show, folk singer Kate Rudy. Stay tuned for that.